time in the Song of Solomon and chapter number 1. Lord being my helper, I'm going to plow right on through this book until God tells me it is enough. And I tell you, somebody said, "Preacher, why do you think God's got you in the Song of Solomon?" I'm going to be honest with you. It's not an easy book to understand, and I feel like that I'm quite over my head in trying to preach it. But, church, if we do not learn to fellowship with the Lord in a more intimate way than what we have done in the past, I'll assure you it is not going to suffice us in the hour of need. We are in desperate need of some time with God, not only as individuals, but as a church body. And it is imperative. I'm just being honest with you. I love you. But if some of you don't find God in your life in a richer way than you have and get over some of the mully grub that you're in, you're going to find yourself doing what other folks have done, kicking out and heading out the front door. I've seen it on the faces of too many people. I've watched it through the years. I've been preaching now for 19 years, and I've seen it over and over and over again in the lives of people. And I've never forgotten what God told us several years ago. He said, "Let them alone. Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." And that is a fact. And I love you this morning. I'm trying to help you. Really, I am. And I think the problem with some folks is that they listen to wrong advice. I'm not talking about reading the book and listening to wrong advice. I'm talking about somebody bending your ear that you got no business listening to. And it's going to get you eventually in spiritual trouble and hot water with God down the road somewhere. You just mark that down. What Brother Hall's trying to tell you, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. And if it does come to pass, and when it does, and if I don't shut up, I won't be able to preach. But when it does come to pass, I'm going to put my finger on it and tell you exactly what I'm talking about. It'll come. I'm your pastor. I've been here a while. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I do. It's been so quiet in here this morning. Like a morgue. Amen. It ought to be resurrection. I'll guarantee you, in the garden on Sunday morning when Jesus got up, the birds were singing. They were singing, folks. They were singing, and Mary Magdalene was a sorrowing. Huh? But God was ascending His love down on His people if they had only stopped and realized it. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. Verse 1, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tent of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, but because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me keepers of the vineyard. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companion? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver." Notice now, the next verse will be our text verse this morning, and it is the bride speaking again to the bridegroom. It is Solomon's bride speaking unto him. She says, "While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. While the king setteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth its smell thereof. Let's look to the Lord for just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the house of God and for thy word that you've given. It has been blessed and precious in our lives. And Lord, we thank you this morning for the Spirit of the living God that has sealed us into the day of redemption and glorified the Lord to us that we might behold him in all of his glory and enabled us to love him in, Lord, obedience to thy word. I pray that you'll have your divine will and your way, Lord, in every heart this morning, and give grace to every child of God. Would you save old sinners and get glory and honor unto yourself? And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do for us in Jesus' lovely name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse number 12, while the king setteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. If God will help me this morning, and I tell you what an occasion to have to try to preach on the subject that God has laid on my heart today. But I want to try to preach on the thought this morning, odors of our worship. Odors of our worship. The Bible said that we must, my friend, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that God seeketh such to worship him as those that would worship him in spirit and in truth. I had an individual just this week to ask me, Brother Hall, what do you believe is our primary purpose in this life as a child of God? I want to say that it would amaze you, my friend, at the responses that we might get to that personal question. If you listen to your normal evangelist on the radio or in the church, and even as far as that goes, most of the preachers today, their response would be that we must, at any cost, win the lost to the Lord Jesus. I say on the authority of the Bible that we ought, my friend, without a doubt, be witnesses to the glory of God. There is a lost and a dying world that must see the Lord Jesus if they're ever going to escape the torments and the damnation of hell. And that's wonderful. But I want to say to you that that is not our primary purpose of being saved. As a matter of fact, I don't know just how far you can carry that thought as you and I being soul winners. We ought to be a witness for God of His grace and of His glory that has been bestowed. But I want to say to you that the greatest soul winner that has ever set feet upon this God-blessed earth that we're living in is the person of the Holy Ghost. When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And my friend, until He comes in power, our words is no more than the words of Lot when he tried to witness to his son-in-laws down in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. God help us to get God on us enough that our words and our witness, church, will be more than just idle words to a lost and a dying world, but that they will have impact and influence about them that will turn sinners from the error of their way when they see Christ, the hope of glory, living in you and I that have been saved by the grace of God. I won't say that's not our primary purpose of being in this life. That is not the primary purpose. God saved you. God saved Adam when there were no soul winners. God saved Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees when there were no soul winners. Now I say that reverently and in love, the best of my ability. You'd be surprised at the answers you'd get. But I'm going to tell you our primary purpose of being saved is that we might serve God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, that is serving God. My friend, serving God is ministering about the tabernacle, working around the sanctuary. Now, I'm going to tell you what the primary function of the people of God was around the sanctuary. And that was to worship God in spirit, my friend, and in truth, hallelujah to God. The sacrifice was brought to the priest and offered by the priest, and God has made you and I priests and kings unto God our Father, and our primary purpose of being saved is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah! That's right. We'll ever get our worship right, some other things will fall in order. A lot of folks are not, they don't want to worship God. Because you're going to have to embarrass your stinking flesh in order to do it. Your flesh is contrary, friend, to worship. It will not. It does not want to worship. That's why I've wondered over the years why we can come to church one service and be bubbling over and come the next service and be as dead and dry as last year's bird's nest. I'm going to tell you why. We come the last time walking in the Spirit with a little bit of victory in her heart, and we come the next time, my friend, giving ourselves over to the flesh and the lust of the flesh, and the flesh, nor the natural man, cannot, my friend, enter into the presence of God and worship God in spirit or in truth. Impossible. Impossible. Now stay with me. Worshiping God. Odors of worship. She said, while the king's sitting at the table, the odors of my worship, my spikenard, my worship, sends forth the odors thereof. I want to say to you on the authority of that Bible, that worship is an odor of a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. Amen. And it's not intended for the worldly. It's not intended for the carnal-minded. It is not intended for the natural man, nor the flesh of man. It can only be accomplished by that renewed nature, that spiritual man that dwells in you that was put there when you got regenerated by the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah to God. The scent, the odors of my spikenard. My spikenard sends its odors of worship up toward where my king sitteth at his table. Now notice with me. Just keep your Bibles open there. In the two preceding verses, the Lord has commended his bride, his beautiful bride, and has promised her great grace and transcendent glory. I come up with that word. The Holy Ghost said transcendent glory. I said, Lord, I don't even know what it means. He said, you got a dictionary? I looked it up in that 1828 Noah Webster, and it means superior. It means splendid. Absolutely marvelous. Above the ordinary. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, that in the two prior verses, God commended you and I that have been saved. Amen to God. And ascribed to earth us great, marvelous, wonderful grace and transcendent glory that can only be known by the child of God. Hallelujah. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will He withhold from them that walketh uprightly. And that certainly includes worship. I'm feeling better. I don't think some of you are feeling too good, but I'm feeling all right. I'm just trying to get in the mood and carry where she's at. Hallelujah to God. Huh? Great grace and glory. He said, I'll give you rows of jewels. He said, I'll give you chains of gold. He said, I give her borders of gold with studs of silver. Amen. And therefore, in the very next verse, heaven had all of this great grace and glory bestowed upon her. She realizes, my friend, that she has received honor and grace and blessing. And she realizes just how lovely He is and how wonderful His fellowship and His company in this life is. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that most of us do not realize how wonderful a companion our Lord is to us in fellowship and in communion. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If the only worship you have is when you come to church, you're a pitiful specimen of a child of God. And if some of you ain't getting no more than what you're getting here, you're even worse off than that. Huh? This is a relationship between the bride and the groom. Very intimate. I might be like Isaac was and got caught by Abimelech. I might sport Mrs. Hall a tad bit out in public. If you ain't careful, you get caught sometimes doing it too. I mean, I might give her a little peck on the cheek and tell her I love her. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If that's all the relationship her and I ever had, it'd be pitiful around the house. Now, I'm satisfied that the problem around the house of God is because we've got a problem with the worship of God in the private place of our home and our heart, where, Lord, the first have place in our life. Alone and in private be some of the greatest moments you'll ever spend with the Lord Jesus. I'll never forget Brother Nolan told me years ago. He told me the same thing. He said, son, he said, public worship is wonderful. Singing the praises of God, he said, the outward ordinances of the tabernacle is a marvelous thing. But he said, there's nothing like drawing up close to the heart of God and worshiping God in private, the confines of your own home. I'll tell you what I heard a preacher say, and I won't remember. Well, it was Wilbur Hurd. I don't mind telling you, I've known Wilbur Hurd for years. I hadn't seen him in years, but I've known him for years. But he said, you take any man or woman that'll get up and read at least 10 chapters in their Bible in the morning, pick out two or three hymns and sing two or three hymns and go to God in a time of prayer, he said it'll revolutionize their life, it'll change their life at home, down at the house of God, and will ultimately bring revival to the house of God. I'm telling you how in God's name we ever expect to have revival or have the power of God upon our lives if we never bring our soul into contact with God Almighty in worship. I want to say to you, that is worship, my friend. You see, by our body, this flesh, we know that there is a God. Huh? We know there is a world, brother. But by our soul, we realize there is a God. But when He regenerated us, He enabled our spirit to make contact and commune with that God. And that, my friend, is worship. Now, don't nobody leave me. Please notice her response to His loveliness. She said, while my king sits at his table, my spikenard sends the smell thereof. While he's seated, I am worshiping him. My spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. She said, that is my grace in exercise. That is my soul breathing out earnest desires for Him. Oh, I'm telling you. Hey, David said, for God, oh God, God, my God, my soul thirsteth for God in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. I'm telling you, our problem, my friend, is that we fail to have the longings and the desires. She said, my pangings after God is like the sweet odor of spikenard in my life. God, help us. Huh? That's right. God, help us. She said, I long for His present fellowship and His personal appearance. And my greatest aspirations is for God. How many ever sat at home and waited on that little honey to come back while she's downtown shopping or out buying groceries? Huh? And you're pacing the floor, especially if she left you with the kids for 5 minutes. Huh? Couldn't wait till she got back. I mean, you wanted her whole. Your heart longed for her. I can imagine Brother Mark being in Germany. No doubt being away. I've never had to be separated from that great a distance from my wife. But I can imagine how a man, like in the war, that would go to the war, World War I or II or Korea, and stay for lengthy periods of time, or in the Revolutionary War or the Civil War, lengthy periods of time away from his bride. Oh, can you imagine how that soldier boy, my friend, must have longed in his heart for that little bride that God had given him. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, as a child of God, there ought to be longings in our hearts for the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to look quickly now at where the King is at here. The King sitteth at His table. May I say, a perfect position and a perfect picture of Jesus in His glorified, authoritative state as seated at the right hand of God in heaven. A place of majesty and power and authority. He is sitting down at His table. Right there. I couldn't help when I thought about that, to think about that little old Syrophoenician woman in the book of Matthew. That little old Syrophoenician woman came along behind the Lord Jesus and began to cry out after Him, and He ignored her. And she said, Jesus, Lord, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He said, it is not meet to give the master's meat unto the dogs. And she come and worshipped Him. And the Bible said that little old woman said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'm going to tell you what I wrote down here, bless your heart. I wonder how often we miss the crumb waiting on the loaf. Huh? Let that soak in on you. Well, if the choir ain't a climbing the walls, and we ain't a jumping over the banister and the rails, and if Brother Hall ain't a kicking the stools down the floor and throwing water in there, if we ain't a kicking the money jugs around, or if we ain't a running or jay, ain't a shouting surely to God, God ain't around. You may be looking for a loaf when God wants to feed you with a little crumb. And the crumb will satisfy you if that's all God designates for you to have. Amen. Waiting on a loaf when there's crumbs all around. Somebody said, I ain't going to get no. I know you won't get down and get it, you stiff-necked, rebellious devil. No humility. Full of pride. You ever consider how big a crumb He might have laying down there? Big as God is, He'd have a pretty big loaf of bread on the top. I can imagine what kind of a crumb He might have laying on the floor under it. Kind of like that little old dog. Some of you got little old house dogs. They, no doubt they just come up and sit out that table. I'm going to say they're not a bit bashful. A crumb falls on the floor. That little tongue licks it up. And I'm going to tell you, worship, my friend, is just like a dog licking the back of his master's hand. Amen to God. We ought to be with. If I could get a good lick of the hand of Jesus, my friend, I wouldn't care if it's just one tiny little lick. It would be worth my lick on the palm of the hand of the King of Glory. That's right, ain't it? Hallelujah to God. The word spikenard now is only mentioned 5 times in the entire Word of God. It's mentioned 3 times in the Song of Solomon. It's mentioned once in Mark 14:3, and it's also mentioned in John 12:3. It is alluded to in both Matthew and Luke's Gospel. 5 times. Wonder why 5 times? Possibly be the number of grace, you reckon? Reckon that spikenard's got anything to do with the good grace of God? I'm going to tell you what, my friend, it's grace that provided the means for you and I to sit beneath the table of the Lord of glory and worship Him in spirit and in truth. My God, we ought to be willing to humble our proud hearts and bend our stiff necks, amen, to God, and even lift up our praises. Come to church and sit like knots on logs. Huh? Y'all act like you're the dog and somebody kicked you outside. Don't say anything here about that Syrophoenician woman. The Lord didn't kick her out the door. She just there at that table eating them little fries. He didn't haul off and kick her. No, sir. He just reached down and patted that little Gentile dog on the head. Said, as thy faith, then so let it be done unto you. But I said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying because of our faith. Bless your heart. Come to church and a little problem at the house, a little sickness or a little money problem or a little this or a little fuss or a little fight or something don't go the way you think it ought to go or this or that. And we come to the house of God and without, oh, God surely couldn't bless me this morning. I've got a bad attitude. God, I'm going to tell you what you'll do. Shut your stinking attitude and come to church to worship God. We don't come to church to play mumbly peg, tiddlywinks, or to kick your two kids on the head. No, sir. We come to the house of God for one reason, and that's to worship the God of glory. First order of business at the rapture of the church as they fell down and worshiped Him. Amen. Brother Ben. 5 times it's mentioned. Amen. And each time now that it's mentioned in the New Testament, it has reference to Mary when she anointed the Lord Jesus. Guess where He was when she anointed Him? Anybody want to guess? She was sitting, He was sitting at meat in the house of Simon the leper. Oh, unto the great God of heaven, our God sat down at the table with a leper, my friend, who was a type of a sinner, and cast grace and glory to a Gentile God that worshiped Him. Great God of heaven. Why, He sits down with publicans and sinners. And listen, she wasn't a Gentile. She is a Jew. Mary was. But she took that little old alabaster box of spikenard while He sat at meat and anointed His feet and began to anoint His head and began to wet His feet with the tears of her eyes and to wash, wipe them with the hairs of her head. May I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, she is worshiping Him. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, we'll never worship till we get down to His feet. Amen. Oh no, you know what our problem is? We're looking for wisdom and knowledge and great spirituality. And to do that, we've got to invade the mind of God. I'll guarantee you, if you get down to the feet of God, He'll drop the mind of God down around the feet area where you can get in on some of the blessings of God in your life. Some of you are starving to death for God. And I'm trying to pour out my soul the best I can, and yet you refuse to stick out a tongue and lift up a crumb that God's laid down as a floor for you to have. God, help us. Huh? Little old Mary, in with much humility and love, adored and worshipped Him, anointing His feet with spikenard, and the odor of that spikenard, the Bible said, filled the entire house where they were all sitting. Now I'm going to tell you, if just one of you, if just one of you would fall down and worship God, the odor of that would be a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. And I'll tell you, it'd fill the whole house. You would be surprised what it'd do to this church if we had ever learned just to worship God in spirit and in truth. Come stiff-necked and that's right and refuse to let God have His wonderful way in our life. Hey, I walked in that office back there on, I believe it was Friday, and there sat Ruth at the desk. Looked like she had been plugged into about a 900-watt socket. There come Doug out of the little old room back there in the back, the tape room, and said, "Preacher, glory to God." He didn't know it, but he was almost a high stepping it. I said, "What in the world?" He said, "Man," he said, "going through trying to clean up the tape room," said, "guess what I found?" I said, "Well, I don't know. What'd you find?" He said, "I found one of the tapes of the old revival meeting when Elliot Smith was with us."
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, "Listen to this." He turned on that tape. Old brother Wayne Smith said, "Yeah." Said, "I want to thank God I'm saved. I remember when I wasn't nothing but a lost church member. I want to thank God how He passed by my way. I want to thank God how He hung out over here. And the longer He went, the faster He went. And I want to thank God how He hung out over here. And I want to thank God how He brought down sin out." And about that time, about 10 or 12 people said, "Woo! Amen! Amen! Amen!" Hey, I tell you, friend, it was like static electricity in the house of God. When one started worshiping God, she went out through the whole house, and that odor filled the whole house of God. Running on up there and sharing doctrine. Said, "I've really been struggling. Said, I've been a doubting God. Said, last night, I got it nailed down. I'm glad, thank God, that I finally got her nailed down." I'm telling you once again, the odor of that worship, of that finder, filled the house of God. Praise God. Have you ever noticed that when somebody with a broken heart or gets excited about something God's done and goes to testify on this a little bit, how it just seems to stimulate the whole crowd? Huh? Y'all ever? Y'all, can I tell you all a secret? Sometimes when I'm preaching, I'll zero in on somebody that I think is a helper. And if you catch me looking at you a lot, it's because I can get better feedback from you than I can out of that crowd that's got their neck bowed. Huh? You know why I got so wild of preaching in here on Tuesday night? I thought I'd tell you whether you wanted to know or not. I looked back there in the whole service. Patty Ford just sitting back there, and her eyes was as red as a setting sun in the west, a beautiful summer day. And her eyes looked like faucets of water. I said, "Under God, she must be a plowed through on somebody." And amen to the grace of God. I look back on Sunday morning, and the same faucet as a running, and the same sun is still a shining. I may just move on back there and get in on it one more time. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why. Her spikenard is sending up a sin unto God. And while it's going up to God, it's a filling the whole house. And because it's filled the house, I personally have got a real good sniff of it. Them sinners snort cocaine. We ought to snort spikenard. Hey, you know what the Lord said about Mary Magdalene, about Mary Bethany? He said, I'll written it down. He said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Huh? May I say to you, friend, that only, what did he say? Wherever this gospel is preached, wonder why he likened the gospel to that spikenard, to her worship. I'm going to tell you why, neighbor. Because only grace can draw out the odor of spikenard and send it up before the table of the King, that it might be a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying only through the gospel can we have the grace of God. And only God's grace can draw out our worship unto Him. Hallelujah to God. It's only by grace we worship. And some folks don't even like it. Son, I eat it up. Me and Steve coming home down there in Paducah yesterday, I got to telling him about that zero candy bar. Son, I like to got beside myself all over again. That's right. I just talked about it, and I could taste that caramel and that nougat. Remember the night that zero apprehended me? And I'll never forget the night I peeled the cover back on it and apprehended it. Oh, it was good. Son, I'm going to tell you what some of you need to do, friend. You just need to apprehend that for which you've already been apprehended, what you've been apprehended by. Amen to God. And let the grace of God draw out the worship that the gospel has put in your bosom. Hallelujah. And let you worship Him. That's right. I want to say secondly now, worship can only be produced by the gospel. But as Spikenard has said, to have been very precious. In fact, it said in Mark chapter number 3 that she broke the box and she poured it on His hand. And the Bible said that it was very precious. That's what it calls it, very precious. Now somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this, that she gave Him the very best she had. That's why I said worship is the first hand of business. When she break the alabaster box, my friend, she didn't take it and run downtown and stick it under a sinner's nose.
Amen.
She broke it in the house.
Amen.
But it was very precious. And by the way, in another passage, I believe in John, it was very costly.
Amen.
And son, worship will cost you something, may I add, that it's already cost Jesus the very best that He had, and if you ever worship, it'll cost you something as well. You're going to have to get over what people worry about and think about you. Quit worrying about what you might look like or how you might foul up. I'll never forget the day that old Mike Jacobs come out of that choir and around this building a dozen times and went back up there, jumped in that pew. Is this the one? This is the one. And hooked that pew right there with his knee and knocked the whole stinking end out of that pew. People looked at him. Didn't bother me a bit. And it didn't seem to bother him any either. Huh? That's right. We was in there talking Friday, and Brother Doug said, do you remember that morning after that marathon? Said, do you remember that morning? Said, Miss Sharon Smith come in and she jumped up and said, come to school and said, I promised the Lord last night if we reached our goal, I was going to take a lap. And said, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and here I go. Hey, did not act like it embarrassed her a bit. Old Brother Doug, so I've seen him stand over here and throw his songbook up in the air, take all of it in that he can take in, and some of it's got to come out and head back through there with his face puckered up, looks like a persimmon. I'm saying it'll cost you something, friend. And that tape we was playing back there, I come on here and the choir was singing. I said, well, the way we're carrying on, I said, folks out in Radio Land will think I'm a fool. I said, sing it again, choir song, make a fool out of myself one more time.
Amen.
It don't bother me, friend. God God is worthy of our praise, our adoration, and our worship. And you're going to have to get over what people think about you and away from your flesh and how it condemns your worship. And your flesh will condemn your worship. It don't want it. It won't allow it. It'll refuse it if you let it. In John 12, Spikenard is said to be very costly. Cost him, it'll cost us. Now get this now, and on each occasion in the Bible, all five times and the two times it's alluded to, it's always offered up by a woman. Now I could jump on that and say, shame on you men, us men. Bunch of dead, dry-eyed devils. But that's not the real meaning of it. That woman is a type of the church. That bride. That's you and I, friend. That's who offers worship to God. That's right. That bride of Christ. That He is adorned with grace, transcendent glory, and beautified that which was an ugly duckling. God has beautified the ugly duckling and set it on display as a trophy of the grace of God. And has allowed you and I with transcendent glory and majestic grace to worship and praise the God of heaven. Now I won't say this. I won't be much longer. I've got to the body of the message. I appreciate it. My Spikenard, she said, sendeth forth the smell thereof. Odors of worship. I've only got three of them. May I say those odors of the worship? Number one are the paintings of our soul. Now you will never worship God until you have an unquenchable thirst, an ardent desire, and a hunger in your soul for God Almighty. You might as well hang it up, neighbor, until you want Him more than you want anything else in this world. You will not worship God. And by the way, we're prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love, and if we're not careful, we can have it today and 2 months down the road lose it. And we've lost it. Thirsting. I use this in Sunday school. What was it old brother David said in Psalm number 63, and I'm not going to preach the same message, but I'm going to allude to it. Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. Where? In a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. David said, my soul is panting and thirsting after God. And I won't say you'll never worship Him until you thirst after Him. Have you ever thought about thirst? Huh? As a heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Why? Because it's thirsty. And you ain't going to worship Him until you get right thirsty for Him. Has anybody in here ever been thirsty? I'm talking about real thirsty. I'll never forget one night I laid down in Vietnam. It had been 120 degrees that day. I laid down in a very, very shallow foxhole because I didn't have enough grace and strength about my body to dig it any deeper. And I laid down wrapped up in a little old thin poncho liner and looked up into heaven and reached over and grabbed that canteen, and she was dry. And I hadn't had water just about basically all day long. And I crawled out on my stomach real easy-like and went to the command post and asked where the water's at. And they said, we don't have no water today. It should be here tomorrow. You ever been thirsty? I laid down on my bed back in that hole in the ground and rolled up in that poncho liner and looked up towards heaven. And I'm telling you, my heart, I said, God, I'm thirsty. I want some water. And I didn't even know God. I want something to drink. My, I've got to have something. Hey, look here. And my first inclination was if I could just get a drop, it would satisfy me. But I'm going to tell you, the longer I laid there for Him, the thirstier I got. And that drop went to a glass full. The next thing I knowed, I could see myself back home at the old factory pond, the old swimming hole, all them boys, and I was willing to drink pond water. And it went from a pond down to the Ohio River I'd seen it through. I said, God, if I could drink the Ohio River dry, if I could just get... And son, it went to the Niagara Falls. I said, I ain't never been there, but oh! If I could just lay down under the Niagara Falls, I believe I could drink. Is it the Hudson River dry? You ever thirsted, friend, after God enough to worship Him, to follow hard after Him, to seek Him early, to... Either you've got to get to Him and taste God and worship God, or you're going to die if you don't. That may be why God has withdrawn His presence from the church and from the people of God, is to teach us the law and the thirst in our soul after Him. Friend, I'm trying to preach my heart to you this morning. I'm telling you right where we're at, God makes no mistakes. For where we're living in our life. Thirst. May I say a little something to you about thirst? Thirst, and it's a big word, it means can't be satisfied. It's an insatiable longing after that which is one of life's most essential supports. And friend, if you get thirsty enough, water, you will die without water quicker than you will die without food. It is an essential for your life support. And no wonder God likened Him to that water that we thirst after. He is an essential life support. He is not one of them. He is the only one of them. Now I'm here to tell you, for a child of God, there will be no satisfying, no abundant life until you find God in your life and learn to worship Him, and you'll never worship Him until you learn to thirst after Him. And don't you settle for nothing else. Don't settle for the thimbleful. He's got Niagara Falls running out of His bosom. Any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For as the Scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah to God. This he spake of the Spirit that he had given unto them. That Spirit will bring a river of water out of your soul, friend. It will satisfy. And don't you be satisfied for that thimbleful or even that glassful. Get the whole Niagara Falls. He's got it, buddy. Huh? Hey, look here. Thirst is something that can't be reasoned with. Go away. I'm really not thirsty. You know better than that? You know it can't be reasoned with. Well, I'm really not thirsty. That's just my taste buds. My mouth feels like it's full of cotton. But I'm really not thirsty. You can't reason with it, friend. And I'm telling you what, a real child of God can't reason with a thirst after God. It's either God or else death.
Amen.
You better believe that's right. You ain't going to reason with it. Oh, amen. No. Pardon the expression, it's an unreasonable idol. It refuses. And by the way, hey, it refused. No forgetting it. There is no forgetting the fact that you're thirsty.
Amen.
Huh? These fellas work outside in the summertime. His brother Mark and brother Robert and Steve and... Brother Steve. There's more Steves. I kept thinking Steve, and I thought, no, he's Steve. What's his name? He's Steve too. Used to call him Adam and Steve, and he got mad at me for it, so I quit. And that sweat... Hey, look here. Now, look in here, listen to me. That sweat rolling off a man in the summertime and pouring down the back of his neck and down his legs and off of his chest and under his arms. And I'm here to tell you, friend, if you don't get a little bit more water in you, you will dehydrate and dry up. And I'm here to tell you, when you worship, you can only worship. I mean, you can only praise so long without worship. You got to get her in through worship and put her out through praise to God, the God of glory. Amen to God. And I think we kind of run and shouted and praised herself out and ate worship and restored the cat and restored the supply on the camel's back. Hallelujah. You can't forget it, and you can't overcome it. You will not overcome it. If you're thirsty, then you'll either get water or you'll die. You'll dry up and die. You cannot overcome it by no means other than water. I want to say, the whole man will have to yield to it. You get thirsty, you can't walk. Your legs won't work. Your hands and arms won't work. Your mind won't think right. That's what we can't think right because we're thirsty. We got our mind on, amen to God, on everything else other than that.
Amen.
Oh, there's the pantings of the soul. I want to say that second odor of Spikenard is not only the pantings of the soul, but it's the praises of our lips. Some of y'all have done, I believe, done gotten madder than a wet hornet. Or yet you wish you were somewhere else or something. Listen now, Spikenard is a very comforting and strengthening nature to the stomach. And it exhilarates the spirit of man. It's kind of like that juice these dopers put down them. Pumps them up. That Spikenard, my friend, is exhilarating to the spirit of man. Amen to God. And worship is exhilarating to the soul of man that will allow us, through our pantings to God, to praise the God of glory. I told them over at Brother Griffith's the other night, some of them didn't like it. I said, the word praise in the Bible means to twirl and spin about. Lock it, lump it, hump it, bump it. That's what the Bible says it is. You ever praised Him? You ever twirl and spin about? Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that's right. Get the Strong's and look the word up.
Amen.
Praises. The inner man must be stirred, aroused, and awakened.
Amen.
Before it can ever worship God. Somebody said, how are we going to praise Him? In song. Psalm 149:1 said, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. We praise Him in song. John Gill, and I mentioned this weeks ago, said that congregational singing is the best thing to a glorified state this side of eternity. Boy, and we're having fun. Praise Him in song. Why do we want to set tight mouth? My God, if He saved us and put a song in our heart, He didn't put it there for us to leave dormant. He put it there for us to sing to Him. We ought to praise Him in the sanctuary. Psalm 150 in verse 1 said, praise ye the Lord, praise God in the sanctuary. Oh, I could preach on this for a month. Praise Him on an instrument of 10 strings. Praise Him on the cymbal. Praise Him on the high-sounding cymbal. Praise Him on the clarinet. Praise Him on the flute. Most of our praise is a fluke when it ought to be a flute. Praise Him in the same. We come to church to sing praises to God. Said in Psalm 150, verse number 2, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Oh boy. Do that of His wonderful praise belong. I'll find it, praise God. I wouldn't let the devil whoop me to the flesh, either one. Both of them two sorry egg suckers. God, I'm fixing to sing, Jerome. I got a song in my heart. Hallelujah to God. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, oh, earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor unto the Lord belong. Ain't that right? Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in sad song. Then that third order, prayers from the heart, is an odor of spikenard. While we sit at the table or the king's table, the smell of our spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. You ever read the book of Revelation, chapter number 8, where the prayers of the saints, come up to the altar of God? And He took the incense and the prayers and the fire off the altar, threw them into the earth, and the Bible said there were lightnings and great earthquakes. Ain't no wonder we can't shake the earth. If we'll ever send a sweet smell of the prayer of spikenard to the altar in heaven, God will take our prayers and send them back to the earth with the fire of God on them and shake the earth around us. We'll see sinners saved that way. While the king sitteth at the table, my spikenard, not somebody else's worship, my worship. Send it forth. The smell thereof. Are you worshiping God? Or are you just going through the motions? Let's stand together.